the truth. They could be giving you godly wisdom, but any one of those people might not be. Why mess around? Why not just go straight to him? I believe that's something that God wants to develop. Oh, I know it's what he wants to develop. It's what he's trying to recapture that was lost in the garden. I think, personally, that's the secret of Job's endurance. Not that he didn't have any trouble. But I reread chapter 29 where Job talks about what his life was like. I reread that today. He just said, that was my life, me and God, buddies. That was the environment that my life was lived in. And when I walked through the darkness, God was right there and he was my light. And I think that was the secret of his endurance. But you know, asking for wisdom, the results of that are going to really depend on who you're asking, aren't they? I gave you the definition earlier, or at least the best one that I've found. I'm a grab-handle definition kind of guy. I think I got this from Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary or some such thing. The English word, wisdom, meaning the proper application of knowledge. We all know people who have vast amounts of knowledge and no wisdom whatsoever. They have not learned how to apply the knowledge they have properly, especially in light of what God says and what God does. So the emphasis is asking God the giver. Be asking God the giver who gives generously, liberally, the old King James says. Actually, both of those are just a tad misleading. The Greek word means simply or sincerely. Pure and simple, without resentment, without strings. I love what J.B. Phillips says. God isn't going to make you feel foolish or guilty. He'll just give you the wisdom that you ask. He'll give it to anybody who wants it. I love that. One more thing I wanted to say about the be asking part of it. This was another thing that God showed me. I had a really bad habit in my life, along with the running away habit. I remember distinctly when this happened. It was a Bible study that I went to, and there was a woman there who had, I think, a great deal of godly wisdom, and she was bold enough to speak it, the truth to people, and let the chips fall where they may without being pushy. But I wear my heart on my sleeve, and so I think she kind of just sized me up pretty quickly. And I remember I was bemoaning the fact that God didn't seem to be answering. Here I am suffering. Doesn't God know I'm suffering? Here I am, and he doesn't seem to be. He's taking his all, you know, fired time to get around to the, and blah, 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 blah. Here's what she said, stuck in my head. She said, if God puts you on hold, don't hang up. She said, that's your problem. Yeah, you're asking God. But if he doesn't answer right away, you hang up. And I think that's the emphasis that James is making by using the verb tense that he used about be always asking. Just be in that state of mind when you need wisdom of asking God. And if he puts you on hold, don't hang up. Keep asking. I love how transparent Charles Stanley is in his teaching. And I can't remember which book it was. It might have been Handling Adversity or something like that. But he was talking personally about his own life. He said this. He says, the surest way for me to see how impatient I am is when I have to wait for an answer from God. He says, I may think I'm godly. I may think I have great faith. But the minute God doesn't answer and I have to wait for an answer, all of a sudden the pot starts to boil. He says, I really find out how impatient I am. And of course, God knows, and he's always up to growing me up, isn't he? So sometimes the reason he doesn't answer right away is just for that very thing. He's just stretching me a little bit. He will answer. He'll answer in that perfect time. That's why we sang that song tonight. We must wait on the Lord, learn our lessons well. In His timing, He'll tell us what to do, where to go, what to say. You mean I just have to sit around here with God? You know, come on, I got stuff to do. See, maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's the Mary and Martha thing, you know? And Jesus wants you to choose the better part. I know that's true for me. And I want to insert something here I wrote in my notes. I'm right on schedule. Here's the thing I wrote on my notes to me. Pass it on to you, maybe it'll apply. Never underestimate the value of desperation. Desperation narrows my focus, does it not? I listen harder. I'm willing to wait. I'm more earnest. My multiple choice list of how God can answer the prayer gets tossed into the trash. When I'm desperate, whatever you say, Lord. And I think that that's a valuable thing. I believe that sometimes when God allows a problem to get desperate, it's for that reason. It just filters out lesser important things. Shouldn't we be that way all the time? I mean, I find myself thinking this. Shouldn't I just hang on His every word when things are groovy, like I do when I'm desperate? Yeah, I should, but I don't. So think of it this way. If God allows your situation to get desperate, maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's exactly the opposite of not paying attention. Maybe it's exactly the opposite of He's mad at you. Maybe He's given you a very, very great gift. When I got well from my flat on my back episode, with the first the horrible infection and then the being practically killed by the huge doses of the 4 antibiotics that they gave me, somebody talked to me afterwards and said, well, at least you got 8 days worth of rest. And I thought, no, fighting for your life is not rest. I did not rest. I did notice something. I did notice that there were no distractions in my life. The pain itself, the can't lift your head off the pillow could have been a distraction, but there was really nothing else. When I could think, it was easy to fill my thoughts with the Lord. And of course, you can look back, can't you? You can look back at times like that and say, you know, that was a good thing. Yeah, I hate it. I hope it never happens again. But that desperation was a gift if it removed the distractions. I'll tell you this, we stop treating God like a vending machine when we're desperate, don't we? So never underestimate the value of desperation. I find verse 5 comforting, that there are believers who, though they know these things that James has just said about the process that God's going through, that they still may be lacking wisdom. They still may not know how to properly connect the dots, what to do, where to go, what to say, in some respect. And James just says, well, hey, that's what God's for. Just have it in your mind that whenever you arrive at one of those spots, talk to Him. Talk to Him about it, and He'll give you the wisdom that you need. But when you ask, you have to ask in faith. There's the P word once again. Trusting in, clinging to, relying upon God, and not wavering. What was it that Philip said about that? I love that phrase. Secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not. That's the definition of wavering. Several different translations use the word doubt, including my NIV, and to me, that word is misleading, because I always think of doubt as akin to unbelief. But that's not the intention of the Greek text. The Greek text is This is a person who's asking God for wisdom, but they haven't really totally made up their mind whether they want God's wisdom. They're shopping. You know what I mean? Oh, I see people do this all the time. I wrote three things down. This is just, I've observed it in my life and may be true of you, may not. Reasons why I've asked God for wisdom, which he says he'll generously give me, and then I feel like I haven't gotten wisdom from him. Here's three observations I made, in all honesty. Sometimes the wisdom that he gave me was just flat too simple. We got a complex problem here, God. We got pressure. We got deadlines. We got schedules. I pour out my heart to God. I wait with bated breath, and he says something really silly like, wait. That all you got? But that's the wisdom for this moment. Or something equally silly. Trust me. Well, of course, when you've, you know, when you're looking for complex answers, flow charts and outlines and schedules and all of that stuff, those answers are too simple, even though they may be the right ones. I always think with a smile on my face of 3 million people trapped at the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army, you know, Egyptian cuss words and rattling sabers ready to munch on them, and they're trapped and they cry out to God, and God says the most inappropriate thing. He says, stand still and see the salvation the Lord will bring to you today. The Lord will fight for you. All you have to do is be still. Has God ever told you to just wait or be still? And you just blew that off because, no, come on, I need more than that. Maybe we don't. I know for me, if I would settle for that, the peace would come immediately. But sometimes I just blow that off because it's too simple. Here's one that we all nodded our heads last night is our number one reason why we don't get wisdom from the Lord. God tells us something we don't really want to hear. I would like different wisdom, please. I don't want to hear that. I can tell you a couple of times in my life when I've had a tidal wave hit me where I just thought I was going to drown. And I cry out to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know why I need wisdom here. And he said, son, my wisdom is this is going to be hard for a while. I did not want that to be true. I wanted to pray it to go away. Show me how to make this go away. Well, it isn't going to go away right now. So you're going to need to do something different. You're going to need to trust yourself into my arms and let me carry you. That is wisdom. That's perfect, pure wisdom. And sometimes that's the best thing that I can hear, but sometimes it's not what I want to hear. Here's another one, and this one kind of surprised me. Sometimes I'm asking God for wisdom about a particular thing, especially a recurring thing, and he's already told me what to do. Now, he doesn't play games, so it's not, well, I told you, and if you just can't remember, then I'm certainly not going to repeat myself. We know God repeats himself, don't we? We've seen that over and over and over in Scripture. But here's what I found. Sometimes when I humble myself and I just say, Lord, did I miss something? Did I just blow that off? Why, did you tell me this already and I just blew it off? And sometimes I found out, yeah, he did tell me. And here's one of those principles of the Christian life. Obey what he's already told you before you expect him to give you something else. It's just the way that he works. Just do the thing he's told you to do. That might be the obstacle. Here's the thing we do know. We do know that God's plans are so perfect that sometimes the next step depends on this step. Being faithful here. George MacDonald used to say it this way. He says, all you really have to do in living your life for the Lord is, regarding tomorrow, is do the next thing. And it gives you, You don't have to do the next 10 things. Just do them one at a time. Live that way. When he tells you to do something, do it. When he gives you the next thing, do that. You're going to find yourself down the road. But here's the problem. If I don't want to do that thing and I want to skip that thing and I want to move on to here, especially when it involves things like discipline and perseverance and stuff like that, I'm not going to experience the unfolding of that perfect plan. You can't skip things and wind up at the same location. So those are three things I wrote down of why sometimes I've asked God for wisdom. I didn't have divided loyalties. He knew my heart. I truly was his. And he gave me wisdom, but I couldn't receive it. Several reasons why people don't receive it. One is that God's told them and they just didn't recognize that that was the wisdom. You mean that's it? You mean wait, that's it? Yeah, well, try it. You'll find that's plenty, you know? You mean just live today and trust me? You mean that's it? Well, try that. You find that you'll have your hands full. Sometimes I'm glad that's all he's given me to do. And then he talks about this double-minded person, this wavering person. I personally think that verse 8 is the definition of what the wavering person is. It's someone, the word double-minded literally in Greek is two-souled. A person who's just divided loyalties to begin with. I wrote a country song about it one time called One Foot in the Rowboat and One Foot on the Dock. You know, there's no stability in that kind of a life. Part of your foundation is in the world, part of your foundation is in God, and you're going to have to make up your mind one or the other if you want to be stable. But if in your heart you're like the lady on my island who just wants to keep all their options open, I'll hear what God has to say. I'll consider his advice. Ain't going to work because he doesn't give advice. He just tells the truth. And it's his way or the highway. I mean, it's because he's right. He's perfect. He's the creator. The person who just hasn't made up their mind in that way about what they, like Philip says, about whether they really actually want God's wisdom or God's help, they aren't going to ever receive anything solid. And I'm going to close with this. I had you circle the word receive. I've heard this whole passage mistaught, by the way. I've heard portions of it taken out of its context. I heard the whole perseverance thing was completely avoided in the church I grew up in because faith was all about making stuff happen. What's this perseverance stuff? If your prayer isn't being answered right away, you're doing it wrong. Well, not necessarily. God may be doing something else. Maybe it shouldn't change for a while. Maybe that's what he's doing. And part of how this last phrase, that verse 7, that man should not imagine or think that he will receive anything from the Lord. That makes it sound like God is withholding wisdom. The secret of biblical interpretation is that Scripture interprets Scripture. He would be contradicting himself if he said, if you ask God for wisdom and he gives it to all generously, pure and simple, no strings attached, and then down here God is withholding wisdom, doesn't make sense. So obviously the key word is the word receive. Here's the thing that bothers me about this word. I looked it up in all of my parallel translations. Almost everyone, I would say 90% of them, translate the word receive. But in my Greek dictionary, it translates it take. That it is a verb which is self-prompted. And in here, Fred, you'll back me up on this, I'm sure, it's in the middle voice, which we don't have in English. But in Greek, the middle voice is where the subject is acting upon itself. In fact, this word take, lambano or lambano, is the Greek word. Except here is rarely ever translated receive. It's the word that's used for eating and drinking, which I find kind of interesting in some places. It means to take for yourself and appropriate it in its purest definition. When I think of receive, I think of being passive. You know, God's given you something and you're going to receive it. But this is a volitional act. This is a self-prompted act. So what is it that he's saying? He's saying, if you haven't made up your mind whether you really want God's wisdom, Elizabeth Elliot said it this way, that you will obey no matter what he says. If you haven't crossed that line, if you haven't made up your mind in that way, it doesn't matter what wisdom God tells you. You won't be able to take it in. It won't be absorbed. You know what I mean? And I think receive is perhaps just a little bit misleading, at least to my mind, and maybe it doesn't bother you, and I did that all that for nothing. But take is much better. And the fact that it's future middle, meaning that as the subject is acting on itself, it simply means that God may give wisdom, all the wisdom that he wants to, but we won't absorb it. We won't take it in because we haven't made up our minds. Jesus said it in just the flip side of the coin. Here's what Jesus said. When people were questioning, who should have known better, whether he was really of God, you can just see him looking at these religious leaders, that penetrating gaze, and he says, if a man wills to do the will of my Father, he'll know whether what I'm saying is from God or not. The issue is this. Do you want to do what God wills? That always is the bottom line issue. Not, God, I'll hear what you have to say, and if I like it, I'll do it, but I want to do your will. And, of course, you would think that that would automatically be the prerequisite of asking for wisdom for a believer, wouldn't you? But in point of fact, it often isn't, is it? It's pure and simple. It's very easily fixable. I will say that sometimes it takes desperation. Sometimes it takes the frustration of taking everybody else's advice and doing it my way and finding a horribly flop and finally come to God and say, I'm sorry, I should have done it your way, but I'm willing to do whatever you say. I'm willing to approach this and respond to this trial. However you say, we've already got a few pieces of wisdom that we can plug in, don't we, just in these first 8 verses. That's why I just keep going back here. Does this qualify as a trial, this thing that just happened? Well, yeah, it does. Okay, well, then here's what I do. If I look at it properly, I can rejoice because something good is going to come out of this. Something good is going to happen. If nothing else, even if it doesn't go away, even if it stays like this for a while, I'm going to have muscles I didn't have. I can offer you personal endorsement, and you'd have to take my word for it or talk to my sisters because they'll tell you the truth about me. But my sisters can't believe I'm still here. They can't believe I still live in Maine. I'm still pastoring this little church. I haven't run away because I always did before. I can't believe it myself. But see, all those 15 years that God was spending trying to run me through this thing of this endurance thing has paid off when I needed it to. Isn't that wonderful that he can do that with us? So my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, Jesus would say, I want you to be fully developed, not lacking anything. I want for you to be able to walk through anything and still have peace in your heart and be stable. But that means that there's some muscles that have to be developed that are going to mean you can't pray this away. It may not go away for a while. It may even get harder. It won't last 1 second longer than it needs to do its work, but it also won't last 1 second shorter. You can run away if you want to, but we'll just have to go through it again. Remember in Evan Almighty, where God speaks to Noah and he says, son, how long you want to keep playing this game? I got all of eternity. It's like, you know, let's just go around the mulberry bush one more time. But you know what? I am determined to grow you up. This is for your good. You're going to thank me later. This is the path that leads to the blessing that you want. You can't take another path. You can't skip over. You just got to walk through it. I'll be with you. You won't have to do it by yourself. You need that perseverance. I don't know about you. The minute that this clicked in my head, and I realized that at any point along the way, if I didn't get it or if I was freaking out, all I had to do was talk to God. He wasn't going to resent it. He wasn't going to make me feel stupid. Then all of a sudden, it just became easier. It still has to be lived out. I still can't. There's still no fast forward button. But I have hope, and it gives me strength. That's why we've taken 2 weeks to do these 8 verses. It's just important stuff, and I thank you for your patience. Let's pray. You know our things we do, Lord. You know, some of it's running away. Some of us, it's taking a drink. Some of us, it's freezing. Some of us, it's getting angry. You know our evasive things that we do that are keeping us from the very thing that in our heart we really want. So thank you for answering the essential prayer over the panic prayer or the whiny prayer or the I don't like this, make it go away prayer. Thank you for being such a good father and so kind, and thank you for making yourself accessible to us at any moment, willing to give us the wisdom we need. I'm so grateful that is in there. So bless these dear ones, Lord. Lots of folks I wish were here tonight to hear these words. I pray that they would hear the truth that would set them free. We commit it now to you, Lord, in our lives. Thank you for the investment of time and attention that you make. Simply to make our life a life that's blessed and full, complete. Don't stop, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.